Now it's good afternoon. We're going to continue with our program. Steve Shones did such a great job yesterday giving out the awards for the diocese. He's going to present those again today. Steve, can you come up and make the diocesan awards presentations, please?
Oh, please hold your applause. It's okay. My name is Steve Shones, Diocese of Fargo. I'm glad to be up here to announce the Group 1B Diocesan Foundation Awards. And we're going to start with a diocese that is going to be walking home with some hardware. So I'm just going to announce what award they won and then announce who they are. This diocese won honorable mention for both diocesan stewardship effort and total annual appeal effort. And they also won award for excellence for the annual appeal poster and the total diocesan capital campaign effort. So would the Diocese of Lexington please come up? I'm sorry, the Diocese of Lexington won the appeal poster and the total campaign effort. And after that, I'll have the Diocese of Lafayette come up to receive their honorable mentions. The diocese that won honorable mention for the annual appeal poster and also the diocesan stewardship effort award for excellence, the Diocese of Great Falls, Billings. The foundation for the Diocese of Helena won honorable mention for total diocesan capital campaign effort. Would they please come forward? And the award for excellence for the total annual appeal effort goes to the Archdiocese of Mobile. And the award for excellence for annual appeal brochure goes to the Diocese of Baker. And the award for excellence for annual appeal video goes to the Catholic Foundation for the Diocese of El Paso.
Thank you, Steve. Let's thank again all the award winners real quick. Now I'd like to bring Michael Murphy up to present the Archbishop Murphy Award. Michael.
Thanks, Jim. Just to preface my remarks, you'll be able to see these videos and these posters on the ICSC website. Like I said, I think Sunday afternoon we had about 137 submissions this year. So we have a wealth of materials to share. And this is not only about winning an award, but celebrating all of you who have shared your stewardship materials with the ICSC family. Each year, an award is extended to a parish that is held up as a model of stewardship for all of us. And it is named in honor of Archbishop Thomas Murphy, who was such a giant in the promotion of the spirituality of stewardship. This year, that award is being extended to St. Pius X Catholic Church in Lafayette, Louisiana, which is about a 2.5-hour drive west from here. The parish began as a mission back in the Diocese of Lafayette in 1958, became a parish in 1968, one of the fastest growing parishes in the South. They do some amazing things in the area of worship and outreach, formation, and especially stewardship formation. Now, the parish representatives who came asked me, pleaded with me not to say too much about what they're doing, because they brought a ton of materials here for the stewardship fair down in booth 808 in the exhibit hall, and they want you to come by, take a look at what they have done, and pick up some of their materials so they don't have to haul it back to Lafayette. I would like to ask Father Jim Brady, the pastor, to come up and receive the Archbishop Murphy Award on behalf of St. Pius X. Don't be shy.
Staff wants to abandon you as I get over here. To say that this recognition was a surprise would be a great understatement. And so we're so happy and thankful. We really didn't think anybody was watching us. So now I'm thinking I got to be careful what I put in the bulletin. make sure I don't say anything wrong. But I've been the pastor there for 6 years, and as was mentioned by Mr. Murphy, that you know, we're a relatively young parish, right? I mean, as church time goes, and it began in the parish. Always had a spirit of can do. It was kind of across the river in Lafayette, the Vermilion River, and it was kind of a pioneer kind of place almost, you know. Across the river was considered the country. And so they get there, and of course it grew. We have favorable demographics. The area's grown, and the pastors continued to bring that spirit of can do, so to speak, that the people needed to live their faith and to have stewardship in so many different ways. And I actually arrived there in 1990, as a parishioner. And so I was a parishioner there for 11 years before going into the seminary, and Monsignor Mouton was there. He built the school. He was spearheaded that project with the people. And then, Father Steve, he followed. Oh my gosh, what's Father Steve's last name? LeBlanc. Man, I was having a brain cramp. Sorry. Father Steve LeBlanc, and he built our beautiful new church. This is our third church. The first was a mission church. Second was 500 people. Now it's 1,000. And so we're in a beautiful building. And Father Steve had the foresight to hire an advancement and stewardship director full time. That would be Miss Skylar Kleinpeter, who's right behind me. And she has been such a great gift. She's been recognized by ICSC as well for her great work and the call to discipleship program. So when I arrived, and the point of all this is just to say, all of us here at St. Pius are really standing on the shoulders of those who came before us. And so our job has been simply to continue the beautiful work that they had begun, and to allow the people of God to be able to live their faith in a very full way. And so since I've been there for 6 years, you know, after 50 years plus, one of the things that we've emphasized, and I think is so important maybe for all of us to look at, is that after 50 years, policy accretions can kind of come into play. Things that we did that were good ideas back in the 80s and 90s and maybe 2000s, the things that they were the way they were. And so one of the things that was noticed was that, you know, it became kind of too hard to go to church with all the applications, all the forms, all the history, all that kind of thing. And so with the staff, we got together and said, we have to look at our stewardship. What about the stewardship of our church? Don't worry about the stewardship of the people. They're doing really well. What about how we are being stewards of the treasures of the church, the sacraments, making administration easy, being able to help people to do what they need to do and not having unnecessary hoops to jump through to do it? And so we kind of took on that process the first 6 years, and it's been beautiful. And the staff has changed so much with the sacraments. We had outgrown our sacramental time. Just not enough time for confessions, not enough masses. The area of town had grown so much that a midday mass was needed, not just the morning before work. And so we've gone from 60 or 70 people at daily mass now to 350 plus. You know, we've gone from 5 or 10 confessions a day to 30 or 40 confessions a day between the two masses. But to give the people and have that spirit of generosity of on our end, on administration, you know, to look at the things that we need to do, become more user-friendly, you know, to be able to become more service-oriented, solution-oriented, you know, with our staff and all of us together, the thought became, okay, when we are presented with a problem, how do we figure out a way to say yes, not a reason why we cannot? And begin there and then move forward. And the response has been absolutely beautiful from the people who give so much to us and help us so much and live the faith in such a beautiful way. Wrapped around all of that, I think, is generosity of the church. That if we are not generous in nature, if we're penny wise and pound foolish, let's say with fees for sacraments, those kind of things, we've gotten rid of all that. Someone wants to give and they worry about it, say, hey, just put it in the offertory. This is what the church does for you. And so to make sure that we have a spirit of generosity, because how can we expect our people to be generous if we ourselves aren't or don't appear to be? And that is something that has really, I think, helped us a lot. Taking advantage of lay people, the other fellow behind me, Mr. Eric Guidry, he's our church administrator, you know, to give him the things that I don't have time to do, like as a pastor, became a bottleneck. I need someone else to do these things to help the people of God. Not to be afraid to let him and take the gifts that he has and all of the other lay people and really implement them with the same spirit of generosity. So, as I said, I think it's wonderful to see this. I just got a new term, to serve as pastor. So I told the people once a year, we talk about money and the state of the parish, and we just did that 2 weeks ago, and I told them how well they were doing. I think it's really nice for me to be able to go back and say, hey, you know, it's not just Father Brady saying this, that what the conference and ICSC is recognizing it as well, and to let them know to continue the good work. And so thank you again for the recognition. Beautiful. And we're very, you know, both humbled and honored by it. And like I said, truly surprised by it. And let's pray that we can all continue to be good instruments of God's love, because ultimately that's what we're here for. So thank you again. And I'll pray that everybody has a safe trip home and goes home with some new ideas and some good things to help serve the good people of God.
Now it's my pleasure to invite our beloved colleague from the Archdiocese of New Orleans, Corey Howitt, to introduce our plenary speaker. So, Corey, come on up.
Felt like PSG's comment here. All right. Welcome. I'm afraid to touch this because of the last time I touched it. It popped on us. Thank y'all for being here. And it gives me great honor to be able to introduce our keynote for today. Gail Benson provides leadership for the New Orleans Saints and the Pelicans. She succeeds her husband, Tom Benson, who passed away on March 15th, 2018, after serving as owner of the Saints since 1985 and the Pelicans since 2012. The New Orleans native is an accomplished business professional and philanthropist with strong ties to the local community and is dedicated to contributing to the growth and enhancement of the Gulf South region. Community investment and giving back have been hallmarks of Mr. and Mrs. Benson's ownership of the Saints and Pelicans. Since Mrs. Benson's passing Since Mr. Benson's passing on March 15, 2018, the tradition has continued under Mrs. Benson's stewardship, sharing Tom's vision and passion for helping others. She had further enriched the New Orleans community through her support to causes in the health and wellness, cancer care, education, arts, and faith-based sectors. In 2019, Mrs. Benson received several important honors. She was honored by Xavier University of Louisiana with the Sister Maris Stella Women of Faith Award, and was also recognized by the UNCF with the group's Masked Award for her support of educational opportunities for all. Additionally, in 2021, Mrs. Benson was presented by the University of Holy Cross with its Spes Unica Award, the educational institution's highest honor based on her support of the university's mission to educate both the mind and heart. She was the Times Picayune's 2021 Loving Cup Award winner, an honor which has been presented since 1901 to men and women who have performed exemplary service to the community without expecting material recognition. Mrs. Benson's support of the Catholic Church has been recognized on numerous occasions. In 2002, she received the Medal of the Order of St. Louis, dedication to the Catholic Church. In 2010, she became an honorary oblate of Mary Immaculate, and in recognition of long-standing support of Catholic education, Mr. and Mrs. Benson received the St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Award from the National Catholic Education Association. In 2012, Mr. and Mrs. Benson received the Pope Benedict the 16th, the Pro Ecclesiastic a Pontifice Award, which recognizes the outstanding service of the Church and the Pontiff, the highest papal award granted to a layperson. She holds a leadership role after being inducted as Dame Commander with the Star in the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem and is Commander in the Order of St. Lazarus, a confraternity of Christian faithful who profess their commitment to Jesus Christ. Ms. Benson, she was born right here in New Orleans. After growing up in Old Algiers, graduating from Martin Berman High School in 1966, after serving as keynote speaker at their respective commencement ceremonies, Mrs. Benson has been awarded an honorary degree from the University of Holy Cross, Southern University of New Orleans, and Delgado Community College. Ms. Benson has also received a doctorate of letters from Notre Dame Seminary in 2014 and an honorary doctorate of human letters from Loyola University in 2019. The most simplest and amazing gift that I could say as Mrs. Benson introducing her is that she is a faithful, devoted, and loving parishioner of our cathedral, St. Louis Cathedral here in New Orleans. She is also the chair of our campaign, Our City, Our Cathedral campaign that we're undergoing now to be able to preserve, restore, and endow America's first cathedral. Many often refer to her as the mother of New Orleans. Her care, her generosity, her love, compassion, and kindness exude everything that she does. She's the face of grace for many New Orleanians, and interestingly enough, is one of the hardest working people I've ever come against. She continually, night and day, worries about her businesses and the cathedral and pushing and advancing the church. She is and understands what it looks like that we were made for legacy. So much so that I would even call her the model for Catholic legacy. Generosity is part of her DNA, and I'm proud to be able to announce and invite her to be able to share her heart with you. And it's a beautiful sight, and I look forward to being able to have her come share. Ms. Benson?
Thank you, Corey, for that kind introduction, and good afternoon, everyone. And thank you, Corey, for your tireless work on behalf of our Archdiocese and our Catholic faith. For those of you who do not know Corey, his leadership as the executive director of the Catholic Community Foundation and involvement in numerous other projects and initiatives in our community are truly remarkable. In addition, please allow me to acknowledge and thank Michael Murphy for inviting me to speak to you all here today and for your choosing our great city of New Orleans to hold this incredible gathering of those who serve our church so selfishly. Selflessly, I'm sorry. I always have problems with that word. It is a privilege to be with you all today as part of the 62nd Annual Stewardship Conference. And this year's conference theme is titled, Called to be Saints. Of course, certainly this name has a special meaning to me. Thank you. And should there be representatives from parishes in the Carolinas and Texas who are Panthers or Cowboy fans, you may not feel our saints treated you with much Christian charity the last few weeks of football. Consequently, I have been on the other side of games like those for many years, and pray you can take comfort in redemptive power of suffering and faith that there will be better days ahead. As you spend time in New Orleans this week, you might notice an extra pep in people's step and smiles on their faces. The reason for that is pretty simple. The New Orleans Saints are much more than a football team. My husband, Tom, recognized this and made sure everyone in the organization understood just how much the team means to our city and our region. There is a quote from him on our team's locker room wall that reads, "The best thing we can do for New Orleans is to win. Our city holds its head higher, walks taller, and shines brighter when the Saints win." I feel confident you will see and feel that brightness during your time here. And beyond winning games, the Saints have an even more significant responsibility in our community. New Orleans and the Gulf South, like many other areas, has had its share of challenges over the years, whether social, economic issues, or confronting national disasters. There are many forces that drive people apart and strain relationships. The New Orleans Saints have always been an institution that brings people together in common cause. One of my favorite things about the Saints games is watching how people celebrate together. Watching people who in other circumstances would never have anything in common, giving hugs, high fives, and coming together to a shared purpose is exceptionally gratifying to me. Our entire team embraces the opportunity and responsibility that we possess to bring people together, especially in these difficult times. We do everything we possibly can to make sure our games are completely free from things that divide us. When you come to a Saints game, you should expect no politics, no pressure to adopt someone else's worldviews, and an atmosphere that encourages sharing happiness, not inspiring negativity. Our team and our games should be and are a refuge from the forces of division, negativity, and persecution. While our Saints have been working to fulfill that mission since 1967, the Catholic Church has been providing refuge and inspiration to its faithful for quite a bit longer. Following in the example of Christ, the Church has sought to break down earthly divisions by inviting all people to worship together and experience the communion of saints, which unites us with our brothers on earth, the souls in purgatory, and all the saints in heaven. As our society becomes more and more divided, It becomes more difficult to cut through the clutter and reach people to share with them the spiritual refuge that is available to them within our church. Fortunately, our church is blessed with incredibly faithful and determined people like you all gathered here today who are committed to sharing their time, talent, and treasure to sustain our faith and share the many gifts God has given us. The sharing of those gifts, the essence of stewardship, is not always easy. Time is precious, and all of us face significant demands for our time from work, family, and other obligations while facing the distractions of social media and information overload. The talents God has blessed us with are also in great demand, and it can be challenging to muster the energy to commit those to stewardship after those obligations have been met. Treasure, of course, is limited for everyone, and committing those contributions often means sacrificing something else we may want or need. Stewardship is certainly not easy, and I am so thankful to all of you for making sharing your gifts and inspiring others to do so a fundamental part of your life and your faith. Your stewardship is the foundation of our church and provides the spiritual nourishment and refuge that is so needed today. In addition to spiritual sanctuary, the Catholic Church has also provided literal sanctuary to believers and non-believers through our churches and cathedrals. Beyond the physical structures, providing safety and protection, our churches serve as a symbol of the strength and permanence that ties generations of faithful together. They are a reminder that while our time on earth is limited, our faith is eternal. Our commitment to faith inspires everyone, co-workers, teachers, children, parents, family members, and our friends. Our dedication to our faith is an example to our children and grandchildren who are our future. So many times I feel that I'm not helping others, and I am certain you all feel the same way. But we will never realize how much a kind word, a gentle look, a smile, or a sympathetic ear will help another person. It is our way through the Lord. We are speaking for Him. And once I married Tom Benson together, we were able to use our platform to give glory to him and his blessed mother that I could have never imagined in my wildest dreams. The passion that drives my support as a laywoman gives me the opportunity to share a small part of what has been given to me through the Lord. The Lord has been very generous with the talents He gives to us all, and I have always felt He has given me so much, even in the most difficult times in my life. I will always praise Him for my life and what He has done for me since I was very young. We all experience difficult times, and we need always to keep our faith as we are all tested on a daily basis. And with confidence and prayer, our struggles in life will be lifted. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see or touch. It is a belief in God who can do the impossible, and I have witnessed this from my early life and to this day. Tom and I experienced this every day as people watched how we act and responded to others, including what we do with our personal and faith-filled lives. I celebrate with the Mass before each Saints game, home and away. And our football team also enjoys a separate Mass before the games. Everyone is truly inspired, and we are blessed to have the opportunity to celebrate a Mass at our Superdome Cathedral, as Archbishop Amen refers to. We have witnessed how other people react, and some have changed their lives during these Mass celebrations, including how God has moved in other people's lives with my friends and security personnel. I truly believe the qualities of excellence in leadership are sincerity, humility, honesty, and demonstrating how faith works in our lives. It is never what we say, but what we do and how we act. It is important to walk the walk and not just talk about it. My peace and calm demeanor is a treasure from God, a pearl of a great price. It is an exquisite and costly gift, and it is so important to trust in Him. Once you receive peace, everything will go your way. I believe spiritual blessings are wrapped in trials. Rejoice in the face of hardship, and you will conquer the world. Many people believe when we receive a challenge in life, we should drop our faith, but that is when we need it most. We must get stronger and realize this is another opportunity for God to show His unending love for us. One of my favorite scriptures is from Corinthians. Love is patient and love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. This verse says it all for our lives and in the lives of our neighbors. It is very important for us to all become part of the community and not just be a spectator in life. This is not God's plan, and it should not be ours. God loves an active giver of ourselves and expects us to share our faith. We all need to be out there showing how we live and how our faith has touched our hearts and our lives, and how we can touch others with our actions. People do not watch and react to our actions, positive or negative. Even when we think no one is watching, they are. So it is necessary that we watch our actions, our body language, and how we treat others. The wisdom of considering others, being gracious, and behaving in a way people expect. We can never demand respect. It can only be earned. Every day I thank God and the Blessed Mother for my ability to help others, not only financially, but through my actions in everyday life. The Blessed Mother has helped me through many trials in my life. I call on her every day with the rosary and in simple talks and daily tasks. Nothing is easy. We all have trials, but it takes faith, commitment, and a strong will to stay focused and address the challenges of life as we receive them. God did not give us a spirit of being timid, but a spirit of power, of life, and of self-discipline. Persistence, commitment, and hope lead to a good, faith-filled life. Obstacles and challenges simply make it more interesting. So many times when we get too many obstacles, we need to embrace them as the Lord has another plan for us. Before the Lord sent Tom Benson into my life, I was working in my interior design firm, not concerned about what my future would bring, as I was confident the Lord would provide for me as He always had in the past. After building a successful design business for 30 years, and after 18 years of being divorced, building my business, and wondering what the Lord wanted me to do, I found out. I was an active parishioner at the St. Louis Cathedral, reading at daily mass and Sunday masses, working with the RCIA program, and working with the Dominican nuns who were at the cathedral school at the time. And I became very close to them, which was easy to do. Then on a Monday morning in April of 2004, I was lecturing at the 7:30 a.m. Mass when Tom Benson was in the congregation. The morning Mass only had about 12 people in attendance, and I usually did not notice the people in the pews, only focused on my readings. After Mass, he began to walk across the altar into the sacristy. My immediate thought was, well, who does this guy think he is? Monsignor Crosby Kern asked me quickly if I knew who he was, and I did not. He quickly told me that was Tom Benson. Well, I had been sending him numerous letters asking for a $10,000 donation for the cathedral, and I would never get a response. So I was not impressed with him. All I knew of Tom Benson was that he would jump around with an umbrella if the Saints won, and this did not impress me at all. It appeared to me to be bragging, and I was not impressed. Once in the sacristy, Tom Benson thanked the Monsignor for the Mass he had celebrated for his deceased wife, Grace. Then he looked at me, introduced himself, and shook my hand. I could not excuse myself fast enough from the meeting and ran to my car as fast as I could. The next day after Mass, the Monsignor told me that Tom Benson wanted my telephone number. I asked Monsignor Kern if it was in response to my letters and if he was finally going to give me a check. But he said no, that Tom Benson just wanted to invite me to an arena football game. At the time, Tom Benson owned a team called the Voodoo, and I thought to myself, well, no, thank you, I'm not interested in that. Then I reminded myself if I went, I might receive that fundraising check for the cathedral. We dated for 4 months, and he asked for my hand in marriage. We were married 5 weeks later. We celebrated our marriage with a Mass at the Immaculate Conception Church in San Antonio. Tom had many businesses there, so he wanted to be married there, and I was like, okay, whatever. We celebrate our 10th year wedding anniversary and had our marriage blessed with a Mass by Archbishop Amon at the St. Louis Cathedral and a reception following at the New Orleans Museum of Art. The cathedral has played a vital role in our lives. And in 2018, after Tom died, I reflected on my many years of personal history with the cathedral, and as I attended Mass there in recent years, I noticed the need for more urgent renovations that continue to increase, and I felt an urgent need to help. The cathedral is more than a building. If you are able to visit while you are here, you will feel when entering, it is the very heart and soul of the city of New Orleans. The cathedral has stood as a symbol of the culture of New Orleans for over 300 years. This is another reason I am devoting my time, talent, and gifts to the restoration of our St. Louis Cathedral in the French Quarter. We must, through this effort and with the necessary resources, strategically and thoughtfully prepare the cathedral for the next 300 years. If I can ask one thing of you all today, please consider joining me in sharing any of your gifts you're able to, your time, treasure, and of course, your prayers. Thank you for your service and stewardship and the role you play in strengthening our church. The inspiration, comfort, and sense of community our faith offers is more needed than ever, and it is your tireless work that makes the spiritual refuge our Catholic Church offers possible. Most of all, thank you for answering the call to be a saint, even if you cheer for a different team on Sundays. And in conclusion, my prayer for you all is that you will always be blessed to hear and feel the presence of the Lord in your lives as you follow your heart and as you work with others that God will place in your path throughout your life. May you all continue to be a blessing to everyone you touch for the remainder of your lives. Thank you for your attention.
God bless you. Awesome. It's so great to be coming today. Unbelievable.